All right. Thank you so much, Lynn. Thank you, Lynn and Lewis, for the 2 hours we had earlier. Always wonderful. I always receive so much listening to you. I want to thank everyone for being here in the sanctuary. And as Roy just wrote on the board, I love this sanctuary where milk and honey flows. Bless us today, our grand voice for love. Amen. And yes, we are so blessed, Roy. Roy nailed it. We are so blessed, and we do receive blessings in every moment of now. And it's for us to hear the blessings, to listen to the one voice, the voice for God. And that's what we're going to be speaking about today. But that comes a little bit later in the program. I just want to thank everyone for being here for another Sunday service from Awakening Together. It's now time to actually share your blessings with all the members that are both gathered here, and we want to share our blessings with all those who are listening in on the radio. Thank you so much for listening in and tuning in, and you are certainly here, as we are all here, always together, joined as one. With that, I'm going to turn this mic back to you, Lynn, for some music as we send our blessings around the world. And that's so easy because we are of one mind, one innocent mind. Send those blessings right here, right now. Thank you so much. Peace, light, love, and laughter to you all. Okay.
Seen a lot of rain, seen a lot of road, I've seen a lot of the world, we're on overload. I see it in myself, it's everywhere I go, each one of us looking for connection. Everybody's on the phone, but nobody's home. So how do we share? How do we show that we care? And everybody's on the line, wasting time.
All right, turning this mic back to you, David Fishman.
Seen a lot of rain, seen a lot of wrong. So how do we share? How do we show that we care? And everybody's on the line, wasting time. Everybody's innocent here. Everybody's got a song to sing. Everybody. Everybody's got a private fear. Reach out and take somebody's hand. Here we stand in the eyes of God, reaching out.
Okay, I hope I am being heard now. Yes, is the voice coming over? Yes, okay, thank you so much. Thanks for that lovely music, and thanks for sharing your blessings. Welcome, Regina. Just saw you walk in, so always happy that you are here. And happy that everyone in the room is here and listening in on the radio. Right now, we're going to take a look at the purpose of Awakening Together. What is Awakening Together? It's a universal assembly of peers dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom, regardless of the form in which it appears. I love that. And regardless of the form in which it appears. Our purpose is that we are an assembly of equals. I love that word, equals, joined in common purpose. Yes, common purpose, shared purpose, one purpose. Awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many sounds that come from this world, but we look beyond all these symbols, all these sounds, all these cultures, and all these faiths, and we seek to discern one truth, just one truth, and to rest in its embrace. Yes, you're gonna hear a lot of noises in the world, but it's up to us to go beyond the noise, beyond the symbols, beyond the concepts, beyond the language that we're listening to when we think it's our own thoughts talking to us. And Lynn is going to be speaking more on that very shortly. Of the five core values, I did select number five today. I thought it was appropriate for the topic. It says, number five is, we accept all forms as temporary appearances permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. So the awareness of, yes, there's going to be a lot of noises, a lot of things going on in the world, and we honor them all. We include them all while continually reflecting on the changeless truth of innocence and oneness. Okay. Come to that particular section of the morning, which we call announcements. Let's see what announcements are on for right now. I want to announce the beginning of a new course being given by the MPP program, Ministerial Preparation Program, on Buddhism. And it's an introduction to Buddhism. The class is 6 weeks long. There's going to be two sessions. There's going to be an Tuesday evening session from 7:30 to 9:30, starting June 9th. Homework begins June 3rd, so you got to register as soon as possible. And the facilitator for that will be Jay McCormick. Thank you so much, Jay. There's also going to be a Wednesday morning session starting June 10th, and that's going to go all the way to July 15th. It's 6 weeks long. And that goes from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern time, 10 to 12 Wednesday morning Eastern time. Homework begins June 3rd, and our facilitator for that is Regina Dawn Akers. The cost is $120. The textbook needed is The Heart of Buddha's Teaching by Thich Nhat Hanh. Yes. Class is offered in Paltalk. So, if you do want to register, please register as soon as possible. Just go to awakening-together. I'm sure that Barb DeWater is putting that up. and go to classes, and it's one of the first classes you'll see in the drop-down menu. Let's see what else there is in announcements. Okay, this fall, we know about the retreat starting starting Friday, October 30th, going to Sunday, November 1. It's a weekend being with Jan Frazier. And then we have a week within with Regina Dawn Akers from that Sunday, November 1st, to the following Friday, November 6th. And then we have a weekend beyond with Bettino Massaro. And if you were listening last night, Lynn Johnson played Bettino's talk that he just gave on surrender. To die before you die is to have surrendered. And that was so beautiful. And yes, some of the ladies say he is also cute too. So you can sign up for any one of those three, or you can sign up for all three and you get a discount. There's a limited scholarships available. Okay, those words, discount and scholarship, and brings me to my next announcement. I did call up Regina Dawn Akers just yesterday and asked if this was okay, and she said yes. And this is a way to, if you are interested or you think you're going to the Course in Miracles conference coming up in Las Vegas next April 8th, 9th, and 10th, and you haven't bought your ticket yet, or you may have bought your ticket, you may know somebody who else who may be interested, this is an opportunity to donate $75 to Awakening Together. The cost of the tickets right now is $449. Next month, it goes up to $499. I have, through One Mind Foundation, bought a bunch of tickets. I have about 18 left. So there's enough to go around, but once they're gone, that offer cannot be made. I'm offering them not at the $449, which is the current price, but at $374. That's a $75 discount from the price, and that $75 is a donation from you to Awakening Together. You can do it one of several ways, one of two ways. One is you can literally send the $75, if you wish, directly to Awakening Together, and then send $374 to us. Yes, this is for next April 8th, 9th, and 10th in Las Vegas at the hotel, the Rio Hotel and Casino. That's a mile away from the Strip. It's a beautiful hotel. I think all the rooms are supposedly suites. They're getting $99 a night, which is unheard of, really. And so it's really a wonderful event if you are going to attend. Rev Tony Ponticello is expecting 600 to 700 people to be there. I know that they already sold about 300 tickets. So if you are thinking of going, this is a wonderful way of not only getting a ticket, but donating $75 to Awakening Together. And yes, we do appreciate anything that you can give to Awakening Together, whether it's through a donation or whatever. But this is an easy way of donating $75, because you're getting a ticket at the same price that you would be paying if you didn't hear this offer. And this offer lasts as long as we have tickets. Actually, I shouldn't say that. The offer lasts until May 31st, which is the last day of this month. After that, the offer can't be offered because the tickets have to be fully paid for by that day. Another way of doing it is you can send by PayPal to EVCTVL1, the number 1, at AOL.com, either the full amount, the $449, and we'll send $75 to Awakening Together in your name. Just say, I want $75 sent to Awakening Together. Or you can send a check to One Mind, Post Office Box 11, Hastings on Hudson, New York, 10706. Or if you have any questions at all, you can call me at that number. That's my cell number, 914-282-4455. Either $374 is sent, and you send $75 to Awakening Together, or $449 and request $75 be sent to Awakening Together in your name. Now, yeah, you're right. The conference used to be held every 2 years, and actually it's the staff at Community Miracle Center has gotten really so good at it after doing it year in and year out, or every 2 years, that they decided by popular demand to do it every year. And the next one is going to be in Las Vegas. So if you have any inkling of going, please contact me, and we could arrange it. And it'd be the $75 is going to Awakening Together, and you're getting the ticket at the same price as being sold at right now. Okay, that's my announcements for right now. I think I've. Does this not negate living in the moment? just like signing up for Buddhism courses, if you don't sign up now, it's really too late in the moment on June 9th or 10th when it starts. So you got to register beforehand. Yes. Okay. I'm going to turn this mic back to Lynn Johnson, and I know that Lynn loves this reading. I was inspired to have this reading because it inspired me for today's topic. I was listening to Nikki Dobson, and she shared the title The Imposter by Regina Dornaker's teacher, Michael Langford. He changed the title. Personally, I like the name The Imposter better, because it really speaks to me, because the thoughts that we hear in our head are not our own thoughts. Jesus tells you that so clearly. The thoughts you think are your thoughts are not your thoughts. They are the thoughts of the imposter. So without further ado, we're turning this mic over to you, Lynn Johnson. I know this is one of your favorite things. So, Lynn, take it away.
Thank you, Dove. And this is one of my favorite things, yes. And Regina is under the teaching of Michael Langford as well. And Nikki, I sent some stuff to Nikki a little bit ago, and realized that she and I are kind of in the same thinking. And so when she came on and she started reading this at the same time I was reading this, I was just like, oh my gosh, this is now. Now is the time. And I recorded Nikki doing this, and Nikki is listening to her own recording as well. I've been listening to Nikki's recording and playing it here as well, because it's just so wonderful to hear. So this is from Michael Langford, from The Most Direct, Rapid and Direct Means to Eternal Bliss. And the former title was The Imposter. And I hear he's changing the name of this, and my suggestion is Zippy Bliss. Fast, let's get there fast. zip to it, zippity doo da. Chapter 1, The Imposter, and I'm just going to read through this entire thing, and just listen to the words as I'm reading them, and think about your own thoughts and situations. The imposter. These are the definitions of the words thought, ego, and self that will be used in this book. Thought. Thoughts are the words of your language in your mind. If your native language is English and you write in English and speak English, those same English words in your mind are thoughts. Some people may speak, write, and think in more than one language. Doesn't matter. It is the language that is thinking in your mind. All right? So these are thoughts. Ego. Ego is the thought I. Yes, read this three times, Kathy. Ego is the thought I. The ego is the I thought. I am happy. I am sad. I did this. I did that. There are so many sentences that are thought of with the word I in them. That thought go. The ego is the idea of a separate individual entity. The ego identifies with the body and with thought and calls the body and thought I. The ego is thought. The ego is thinking. The ego is thought. The ego is thinking. The ego is the I thought. Self. The self with a capital S, we're talking about self as our true being. The self is infinite, eternal awareness, love, bliss. And that is all in one word or hyphenated because it is all these things. The self, oh, thank you, Regina. I was just going to post that. I guess I might as well post it anyway because I've got it in my buffer. The self is infinite, eternal awareness, love, bliss. Those are five words pointing toward one awareness. Awareness, love, bliss are not three. They are one. Awareness, love, bliss is the same thing. The self is the background of awareness. Because almost all humans are in the habit of looking outward toward thoughts, the body, the world, people, places, things, etc., it appears as though the background of awareness, the self, wakes up in the morning and goes to sleep at night. If one turns the attention towards the background of awareness, eventually it will be discovered that the background of awareness is continuous and unbroken. Because almost all humans are in the habit of looking outward toward thoughts, the body, the world, people, places, things, etc., it appears as though the background of awareness is limited. If the attention is turned toward that awareness that wakes up in the morning, instead of towards people, places, things, thoughts, etc., eventually it will be discovered that that awareness is infinite, eternal awareness, love, bliss. And just thinking, you know, that is that grace that is in all things, that is all things. And when I recognize that all things, everything in this apparent world, in this apparent body, in this apparent experience is sheer grace, then that is the awareness that is infinite, eternal awareness, love, bliss. So thought and the I thought, the ego and thought, are the opposite of infinite, eternal awareness, love, bliss. Because they are an alien self. So number 30, thought is, number 40, Thought is something foreign, alien to the true self. Thought pretends to be the self. Thought is not the self. Thought is an imposter. Thought believes that it is a real entity, that it is a real self. Thought is not a real entity, and thought is not a self. Living from thought instead of living from awareness is the cause of all human suffering. Living from thought instead of living from awareness is the cause of all human suffering. The imposter is the cause of all human problems, sorrow, and suffering. The background of awareness is the true self. The awareness that wakes up in the morning is the true self. The awareness that is looking through your eyes now is the true self. As an example for clarification, I love that he does this, you could view thinking and memory as something like a computer program. Within that computer program is a virus. The virus is called the I thought. The virus controls the program. The I thought controls all thinking. The virus pretends to be yourself. The I thought pretends to be yourself. The virus creates tremendous sorrow and suffering. The I thought creates tremendous sorrow and suffering. Could it be any clearer? And Dove, I'm turning the mic over to you.
All right. Thank you so much, Lynn. And I think anyone who's really listening, and we know that everyone here was really listening, here is the same thing that I heard when Nikki Dobson got on this microphone a couple of days ago and shared this. And I know that Regina has shared it a long time ago with all of us, and we all looked at it. But, you know, it became very relevant to me recently, and that's why my listening went up. And I'm going to be talking about that right now. But I just want to repeat the last one. The virus pretends to be yourself. So every time we have the story, you know, that's the virus. That's not who you are or what you are. You are as God created. You are the love of God. You are the love. You are the innocence. You are the purity. You are the integrity of God. But we listen to these other thoughts, these other words. I was just listening to David Letterman this morning. He, as you know, after some 30-something years, he's literally ending his late-night show, and he was being interviewed, and, you know, he said, I don't know if I really did good. And he had a conversation with his wife last night. He says, David, you are perfect. What you did was fine. What you did was beautiful. And he said, you know, she said it, but I couldn't accept it. I couldn't accept it. And why couldn't he accept it? He was listening to the thoughts in his mind, the virus that creates all kinds of suffering. Okay, let's get to the topic. The topic is be of one mind, and that's what I sent out in the email last night. And I added one word this morning, be of one innocent mind, because the mind of innocence contains no guilt. And as long as there's any guilt, I will be listening to this other thought, the projections that I don't want to look at. They are all based on something outside of me. I'm going to get a real clear look on what today's topic is by the second subtitle of today's topic, what Jesus understood in his own lifetime. What Jesus understood in his own lifetime. And I must preface this, I feel somewhat like Albert Einstein. I know it sounds like an ego thought, it probably is. But it's said that Albert Einstein really never came logically or rationally to his understanding of the physical universe. He said, I did not come to an understanding of how the physical universe works through my logical and rational mind. He just kept asking the same question over and over and over. It took him 10 years to ask the question, and finally the answer was given to him. What would things look like if I was traveling at the speed of light? And he asked that same question over and over again, and finally that answer was given to him. And Niels Bohr, the most famous physicist of Einstein's time, says, you know, I follow this guy Einstein all the way up to this certain point, but I don't see how he goes from here to there. He didn't go from here to there. The answer was given to him. You might say the same thing happened to me on the way to this morning's topic. For many years, you know, I've heard about Jesus, and I'm saying, you know, what is it that Jesus could possibly have been given, you know, since he was a nice Jewish boy? You know, he was 13 years old, he was bar mitzvahed, and the last time we hear about him was when he was 13. Someone asked, what are you going to do now, Jesus? And he says, well, I'm going to go about my father's business. Well, Jesus took that literally, that he was going to focus on being with his father and whatever his father's business is. Now, in those days, they didn't really have a New Testament, which you can all appreciate, the New Testament being written after. So somehow, Jesus, who basically was a religious person, but he wasn't religious in the sense of the traditional religion at the time, which you read the Old Testament and you took everything literally. You know, he wasn't a Essene. He was a mystic. And mystics realize that nothing is as they appear, that everything is a pointer, everything is a symbol. You don't take concepts and accept them as true. They're always pointing to something beyond. That's how a mystic sees beyond this world. So in those days, everybody was talking about what was then 1,000 years old, the Ten Commandments, and thou shalt not do this, and thou shalt not do that. But somebody who was a mystic said, well, you know, well, what do you mean thou shalt not? You know, what God gives is given to all equally, and there's nothing for me to not do what God has given. Ken Wapnick, in his lovely humor, counts the story among his many stories. He says, you know, Jesus wasn't really good at math. He couldn't count past the number one. That's from Ken Wapnick. So, of the Ten Commandments, let's say Jesus couldn't count past the number one. And he figured, well, of the Ten Commandments, you know, let me focus on the first commandment. Thou shalt have no idols before me. Thou shalt have no idols before me. Wow. Can you imagine that? Now, what do you mean by an idol? Now, when Dove was a kid around 13 years old, I thought idols, well, who the heck would bend down and bow down before dogs and cats and totem poles? And I think I've told this story many times. Later, I realized, no, idols are not the sun and the moon and the stars. No, idols are sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And later, as I came to the course, I said, no, it's not even sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It's the things that we value in this world that are valueless. That was my birthday lesson. I will not value what's valueless. But recently, it's really came to me, and I was sitting in the Course in Miracles conference in New York about a month ago, and it came to me that what Jesus realized is exactly what Lynn was just reading from Michael Langford's The Imposter, that the imposter, which is our thoughts, and our thoughts are the thoughts of good and evil, good and bad, right and wrong. As Rumi says, beyond the ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, there's a field, and I'll meet you there. As Shakespeare said, there is no good, there is no bad, but thinking about it makes it so. We hear he may have gotten a little help from St. Francis of Assisi on that. But to the mystics, they realize that God is good, that this is a friendly universe, that there is no evil except my own thoughts that believe in the Garden of Eden, where there was a forbidden tree, a tree of knowledge, a tree of good and evil. And he tells us in the Course in Miracles, he says, you know, God could never put a tree there that was forbidden to allow his son, named Adam, only time Adam is mentioned, twice, is he wouldn't let Adam eat of the tree of good and evil if it wasn't good for him. So if you go even further back, he says, you know, and those people who understand the Old Testament know that Genesis, the Garden of Eden, is really one of the most important allegories that we can possibly understand about this world. And in the Course in Miracles, he tells you that Genesis starts twice. There's the first Genesis where he says, let there be light, and all was good. And he saw it was good, and he rested. But then it says that Adam fell into a deep sleep. And then there's a second Genesis. It starts all over again. God creates the heavens and the earth. He says, let there be light. But in this one, the second Genesis, the one which is a dream, Adam fell into a deep sleep. Nowhere does it say he awoke. He dreams that there was a tree. And he was told, or, you know, whether you project it onto Eve or the serpent, none of that really matters. It's all a dream. Which part of the dream do I think is more real than another part of the dream? So the ideas of good and evil, or right and wrong, or good and bad, and, you know, I love the teachings of Regina. She says, you know, it's the I am bad that tells me the things about others, that they shouldn't do this and they shouldn't do that, and, you know, they shouldn't steal, they shouldn't lie, they shouldn't. No, actually, all that is something that I made up in my belief in good and bad, in the belief that I could do something wrong. But in the garden, which we still live in the loving arms of our Father, we only need the first commandment. The first commandment says there, put no idols between us. Put no idols between us. I am your Father who loves you so, and you love me. Remember the vow that you took. And when you said, I will, you were created. And that vow is eternal. This is the love of innocence and oneness, and all are included in that innocence and in that oneness. So what did Jesus know that maybe his brothers didn't know, who was still, and now we hear all these stories of the Pharisees, who said, well, you know, you're breaking the commandments, you know, you shouldn't work on the Sabbath, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. Kind of reminds me of the question that was asked here earlier, you know, even though it's helpful to maybe get a ticket for a lot less right now, doesn't that negate the idea of living in the moment? Oh, no. Whatever is helpful is in the moment. Whatever is helpful. I'm here only to be truly helpful. And Jesus knew that he was here for healing. So if he healed on the Sabbath, that was helpful. He wasn't breaking any commandments. For God is only here to heal and to help. As it says in Lesson 356, God is another name. Healing is but another name for God. So when it says honor your mother and your father, it means honor yourself, honor the love and the helplessness and the helpfulness and the healing that you have come here for. Honor the healing and the helpfulness and the love that you are, the love that your father is for you, that only wants the best for you, only wants the goodness for you. And you find this in your heart. And I've said this before, when all who talk about, don't listen to the head, look within your heart. And I know that everyone here, and I know this is true of everyone in this world, that they look in their own heart without looking in the world and thinking, what do I need to do to survive in this world of good and evil? You know, maybe I have to be evil in order to survive. If you look in your own heart, there is nothing but mercy and goodness and love. And that's the truth. The truth is one for all. And to love that truth more than anything else is to listen to the one voice for God. In chapter 5, section 2, call the voice for God. And remember, the voice for God, God's voice speaks to me all through the day. He says, it was the last lesson that I learned here in this world as a man. It's the final lesson for all of us. But he doesn't says it comes easy. Yeah, you have to go through all listening to the good and the evil, to all the thoughts you have in your mind, and to begin to realize that none of those thoughts really mean anything. Isn't that what the first 19 lessons are all about? None of these thoughts really mean anything. Nothing to see here means anything. If you think it means something, then you're the one who's given all the meaning to it. The only reason I live in terror is I believe I live in a meaningless world where one day you're here and one day you're not. It seems so meaningless. One day you're healthy and one day you're not. I looked at lesson 14, but God did not create a meaningless world. God did not create a meaningless world. And he says, you know, with eyes closed, think of all the horrors in this world that cross your mind. Name each one as it occurs to you, and then deny its reality. Deny its reality. God did not create it, and so it is not real. Say, for example, God did not create that war, and so it is not real. God did not create that airplane crash, and so it is not real. God did not create that disaster, specify, and so it is not real. Yeah, God did not create that train crash, and so it is not real. Lesson 14 caught my eye a couple years ago when I was going through my bout with cancer, and I was gone through chemo, and then I was going through radiation. I was up to radiation number 26. It was on January 14th of 2013. I was sitting here in this room, and Matt Land from Endeavor came in and was reading the lesson of the day, lesson 14. And this is what I heard him say. Suitable subjects for the application of today's idea also include anything that you're afraid might happen to you or to anyone about whom you are concerned. In each case, name the disaster quite specifically. Do not use general terms like God did not create illness. No. Let's get specific. God did not create cancer. I say, huh? It woke me up. God did not create cancer, yet I am treating myself for cancer. The next day, I stop. Stop means I'm honoring my father, I'm honoring myself. You know, the Ten Commandments, as anyone who studies the Ten Commandments knows, is broken down. The first five is about between myself and my father, my creator. And he says, honor your mother, father. Honor me. When you honor me, you honor yourself. And the next five is between you and the rest of the world. And let's take a look at another thing that Jesus was well aware of, because mystics don't accept concepts, look beyond the concepts to what it's pointing to. Another thing that happened twice besides Genesis was Moses going to Mount Sinai and getting the Ten Commandments. And those who know the story know that, oh yes, he stayed 40 days on that mountain. Very holy number in both the New Testament and the Old Testament, the number 40. He stayed 40 days with God, and then God gave him the Ten Commandments on two stone tablets. And he brought him down to the Israelites. And what did he see? The Israelites had grown weary and impatient. And they asked Aaron to make them a calf to idolize, a golden calf. And they were dancing and idolizing and worshiping the golden calf. And Moses saw this and he got angry. Moses got angry. And he took the first Ten Commandments that was given to him and he threw it down and smashed them into bits. And he went back up and he says, okay, you know, I'll come down with Ten Commandments that was made for you, the idol worshippers. And that's the Ten Commandments that we have been calling the Ten Commandments that sits in all the courtrooms and all the places where justice is being meted out. Thou shalt not. But did anyone ever ask what was the first Ten Commandments about? And I'm sure the first Ten Commandments was all the love and all the goodness and all the mercy and all the light and compassion of God's holiness, the integrity, the wholeness, the purity, the innocence, the oneness. But, you know, Moses got angry, and after all, he's the guy that wrote the five books of Moses. He gets to write it any way he wants. You know, history is written by those who see it the way they want to see it, and he wrote the Old Testament. That's the truth. But that didn't mean that Jesus, 1,000 years later, had to accept it exactly the way it was written. No, no. Mystics don't accept words or thoughts or concepts. They look beyond. They ask. They go directly. They don't need someone to interpret. They don't need another rabbi. They don't need a high priest. They go directly to the source and say, what is this for? Ask of all things of this world, what is this for? And yes, I say that Jesus totally understood God's love for his son and for all his sons, all included equally. For he gave them all of his love equally, equally. He gave the wisdom to all equally, and that wisdom is always in us. But if I'm listening to this imposter's voice, which Michael Langford actually calls the liar, if I listen to these lies, I'm going to see that the Ten Commandments was for punishment. Yeah. If you lie, you're going to be punished. If you kill, or murder, or steal, or commit adultery, cheat, covet, want. And yeah, we can give it our own interpretations. But when you're coming from the innocence of the love of God, of the purity and the integrity of oneness, of wholeness, these things don't appear the same way anymore. In fact, you know, even the word murder, nobody here would actually murder somebody, but doesn't Jesus say in the Course in Miracles, what's not love is murder? So what is he talking about? He's talking about the judgments that we have on what others are saying. Maybe they said something that you don't like. Oh, well, in my judgment, I've just murdered them off. They're not one with me. They're separate. And all I'm doing is I'm speaking about my own belief and my own separation from the love of God. Because I'm still believing in the tree of good and evil. I'm still thinking that some people out there are lying to me. Maybe they're not telling me the truth. And isn't that just a projection that I'm lying to myself, that I'm not honoring myself, I'm not loving myself, I'm not loving my Father who is one with me? Even the word adultery, which for maybe thousands of years, people say, well, adultery is cheating, you know, you're not being loyal. Isn't it amazing the English language is so mystical? The word adultery also comes from the word to adulterate, which is to thin out, which is to not be pure. Not to be pure is to adulterate. When you have something pure, when you're given holy water, it's pure water. And if you put anything in it, it's not pure anymore, as Regina once taught here. Yeah. All those things that we think we know what we're talking about, that's the imposter. That's the liar. That's the voice that you listen to that you think you know something. Yes, the ego is the embodiment of, I know something. And Jesus came from, I do not know. I'm just going about my Father's business. And ask of all things of this world, what is it for? And that lesson 25, yes, I do not know what anything is for, starts out with purposes, meaning. And he tells you in a three-word sentence, in the very first three words of that lesson, that only purpose has any meaning. What is my purpose? And we all share the same purpose. The only purpose that has any meaning is to awaken. Healing and awakening are the same. To heal is to awaken. To awaken is to heal. To awaken from this dream. Yes, Adam fell into a deep sleep, and nowhere does it say he awakened. Look at today's lesson, 137. When I am awake, when I am healed, I'm not healed alone. When I awake, I'm not, as Lynn was saying here earlier, legions upon legions will awaken with me. Because I won't see them as asleep. I won't see them as good and evil anymore. I will have awakened from the dream of good and evil, of right and wrong, of good and bad. On this note, I want to really thank the Holy Spirit for giving me this to share with all of you. I know it was a gift given to me. Everything that has come to me has always been a gift given to me to share. I say that we live in the sea of synchronicity within this ocean of love. That's been my experience for so many years now, that everything is given and really comes from my willingness to develop trust. Because once you develop trust, all is given to you. And trust is simply letting go of everything that you think you know. Kind of reminds me of that wonderful lesson that so many people who come to this room actually repeat from lesson 189. I feel the love of God within me now. I feel the love of God within me now. And so many come here and repeat paragraph 7. I'm going to repeat paragraph 7. I'm going to go on and repeat the entire 7, 8, 9, 10 to close this out. Simply do this. Be still. And lay aside all thoughts of what you are and what God is. All concepts you've ever learned about the world. All images you hold about yourself. Empty your mind of everything it thinks is either true or false or good or bad. Of every thought it judges worthy. And all the ideas of which it is ashamed. Hold on to nothing. A three-word sentence. Hold on to nothing. Do not bring with you one thought the past has ever taught you, nor one belief you ever learned before from anything. Forget this world. Forget this course and come with holy empty hands into your God. Now that was the paragraph that actually awakened me up, and I knew that this course came from beyond this world, because no one could have written that paragraph and been in body or ego form. It had to come from beyond this world. But the paragraphs 8, 9, and 10 really speak even clearer if you're willing to go there. Is it not He, your Father, who knows the way to you? You need not know the way to Him. You don't have to learn anything to be with your Father. Your part is simply to allow all the obstacles that you have interposed between the Son and God the Father to be quietly removed forever. And isn't that how this course starts out? Your function is not to find love. That's beyond the scope of this course. But it's to remove all the blockages to your awareness of love's presence. It's always here. It's never left. It's here forever and forever. You're joined by your mighty companions always. Always. You're always with your mighty companions. God goes with you wherever you go. God will do His part in joyful and immediate response. Ask and receive. Ask and receive, a three-word sentence, and that's all we can ever do. Ask, what is this for? And it'll be given to you. But do not make demands nor point the road to God by which He should appear to you. The way to reach Him is merely to let Him be. Let Him be. It comes from the fourth obstacle to the peace of God. The fourth obstacle is let Him be who He is. Seek not to make of love an enemy. So whenever we think that things should be a certain way, we are making love an enemy. Let all things be exactly as they are. Let all things be, simply be. Okay. But do not make demands nor point the road to God by which He should appear to you. The way to reach Him is merely to let Him be, for in that way is your reality proclaimed as well. Yes, I am as God created me. And so today we do not choose the way in which we go to Him, but we do choose to let Him come. And with this choice we rest. And with this choice we rest. And in our quiet hearts and open minds, His love will blaze its pathway of itself, which has not been denied. And is surely there. It's always there, unless we deny it. If it be true and can be surely reached, God knows His Son and knows the way to Him. He does not need His Son to show Him how to find His way. Through every open door, His love shines outward from its home within and lightens up the world in innocence. And here's the final prayer in italics. Father, we do not know the way to You, but we have been called, but we have called and You have answered us. We will not interfere. Salvation's ways are not our own, for they belong to You, and it's unto You we look for them. Our hands are open to receive Your gifts. We have no thoughts that we think apart from You, and cherish no beliefs of what we are or who created us. Yours is the way that we would find and follow, and we ask but that Your will, which is our own as well, be done in us and in the world, that they become a part of heaven now. Amen. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thank you so much, Holy Spirit, Jesus, for giving me this. Regina, for awakening together. Lynn, for running this room the way you do. Thank you so much for being here, for joining with us all, listening on the radio or here in the room. Turning this mic back to you, Lynn. Reminding everyone that if you have been inspired or you feel that awakening together in any way provides healing for you, we ask that you do make that donation. Let it come from your heart. It's not something that you do because someone asked you to, but something that you do because you're inspired to do that for yourself and for others. Turning this mic over to you, Lynn, and we'll be back in about 4 or 5 minutes for any inspiration, any thoughts. We have a whole hour of fellowship ahead of us. Thank you so much, Lynn. Lynn, this mic is all yours.
Seen a lot of rain,
faithful by thy past. Prison doors have opened and I'm free.
Alright, thank you so much, Lynn, for that music, and thanks all for joining in. And if you did make a donation to Awaken Together, thank you so much. We're going to open up the mic right now. If anyone felt inspired by anything they heard, or anyone have any thoughts, I just want to say that the funny thing is the idea that Jesus realized that you only need the first commandment. You don't really need the other nine. If you're really honoring the first commandment, thou shalt have no idols before me, the other nine are superfluous, literally superfluous. Just like I have said many times, you know, if you really totally understand lesson number one, and maybe the first time through you don't, but after you do the whole course, you come back, it's not lesson number one anymore, it's lesson 366. Nothing I see here means anything. You know, I think that Jesus totally understood the first of the Ten Commandments, and almost all of his innocence, all of his beauty, all that we love about him really came from understanding that anything other than the love of God and God's love for me is superfluous. So anyone feel in any way inspired, that want to share anything, that something came up for you at all? Love to turn this mic over to anyone. We have another 10-12 minutes here. I just want to say a lot of the things that I said, such as Adam falling asleep in the garden and nowhere to say he woke up, and the ideas of Moses getting the Ten Commandments twice, and so we only know about the second one after he got angry. And he saw that the Israelis were idol worshippers, and he said, well, if you're idol worshippers, then I'll give you this form of the Ten Commandments, and maybe that was Moses' own form. We don't really know what the first was. That all of that was really just given to me in the last, today, yesterday, you know, it's all given to you, you know, and if there's anything I can say about developing total trust is to know that. And I was listening to Matt Kahn last night, and he says, you know the difference between a master and a student? And he said, a student can never be a master. The student is always thinking there's more to come. You know, like what is it that I don't know? Please tell me. He says, no, the master knows that it's all given to you, and he just keeps blessing people. He just keeps blessing. And knowing that he is blessed. And the way he's blessed is he knows that everything is given to him. There's nothing you need to know. There's nothing you need to know. It's all given to you. It does take trust, though. It takes total trust. And I want to thank the guidance that I have received. And, you know, I think a lot of what this room has been about for many years is also about developing trust in the one voice, the voice for God. As Jesus said, it was the last thing I learned here as a man. It took effort and great willingness to hear only one voice. Okay, anyone want to share anything at all? Anything at all? Love to hear from anyone. Thank you all for being here. I see Louie in the room. Regis, to rely upon, yes, as Cheryl Kaplan says, to rely upon spirit totally. That's the acronym for trust, T-R-U-S-T, to rely upon spirit. Because I am not this body. I am spirit. I'm really relying on being totally responsible, being cause, not effect. And he said, you know, a student is always at the effect. And by the way, Jesus gives you the exact same thing in the Song of Prayer, section 3, which I talk about here all the time on page 17, the Song of Prayer. He calls it healing to separate. It's a tongue-in-cheek way of Jesus being humorous. He says, you know, how can that be that you can sit at the foot of somebody who knows more than you, and you're going to learn from them what it is that you think that you don't have? He says, you can never, ever, ever become equal by thinking that somebody has something that you don't have. That's like another way of looking at the 10th commandment. It was Catherine Ponder who says, you don't need the first 9 commandments, you only need the 10th commandment. Thou shalt not covet. Because if you're coveting, you're saying, I'm not equal. I don't have what others have. And Jesus points that out in the Song of Prayer. He says, unless you see that you are the equal, whole, complete Son of God now. It doesn't matter what you think you can ever learn from another. There is no other. There's nothing to learn. You already have everything. Isn't that the first of the 3 lessons of the Holy Spirit? To have, give all to all. And then he tells you, if you're not giving all to all, if you're reluctant to give in any way, you must have been reluctant to accept. You must have been reluctant to accept. Because it's really in the acceptance. It's in the acceptance. It's in the acceptance that you receive. Giving and receiving are the same. Giving and receiving are the same. And that, by the way, is the law of love. It's the law of love. It's the law of mind. It's the law of God. You find this in lesson number 344. What I give to myself. You can't possibly give anything to another. You can't give anything to another without giving it to yourself. In the one innocent mind, there is no other. I'm always sharing myself. You want to be yourself? Share yourself. Redemption is recognized only by sharing. Okay, anyone want to say anything? Anyone have any thoughts? Anything they want to share? Cheryl says, was experiencing that exchange yesterday at a street fair. Holy encounters. It was beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the reason for going to a Course in Miracles conference, by the way. I just want to say, you don't go there to hear, me or Regina or David Hoffmeister or Earl Purdy or John Mundy or any of the other 25 presenters. You go there really to join with your brothers and sisters. As Rev. Tony Ponticello says, you know, if you're going to a conference, the real conference doesn't take place in the breakout sessions, listening to somebody else telling you their experience. The real conference takes place in the dining room, where you're sharing with your brothers and sisters, where you're joining, where you see that you're all sharing the same interest, the same goal, the same purpose. It's in the sharing that you remember that you are of one mind, of one innocent mind. Okay. Yes, Bob DeWard reminds me that Bob and I sat down at the same table. I think it was for lunch. And yes, it was probably the one time I really had a real experience of just being with Bob DeWater as she had an experience of being with me. Whatever that experience is, it was beautiful. Regis Reeves, this mic is all yours. Thank you so much, Regis.
Well, good morning. Sound check if I am transmitting. Oh, yes. Thank you, Bob. Just saying good morning. Oh, it's a little low. I bet I know why, too. Let's see. Yep, because now it's better. Should it be a little better? Yes, okay. Well, good morning again. Dove was making that offering and that welcome, and I just felt that regardless of whether I thought I had anything to say or not, that I should receive his welcome to take the mic and say something or share. So I love every one of you, and it is beautiful to have family in gathering and commonality in this world as we figure it all out, trying to be in this world and not of this world, and here to only be truly helpful. So all we need to do is just show up. And so here we are, and I'm happy to show up with those of like mind. And as Dove was sharing about that need to not sit down and have anyone teach you, I was reminded of in 1 John, and 1 John 2, and I'm curious as to how it reads in the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. And I was looking around, and I don't know where I laid mine, but in 1 John 2 and 27, it says, in the New Testament, it says, you have no need. There will come a time where you will have no need that anyone teaches you anything. And that has always been something that always stood out to me, and it's something that the spiritual ego gets confused about, because it's like, well, you don't need to go, you don't need a teacher, you don't need to listen to anybody. What are you going to do? You just, you know. So the head gets around that, and then of course, when it comes to various religions, then if we need not that anyone teach us anything, then what are we going to do with our religion? Because most of them are based on somebody, you coming in and letting somebody teach you something. So it's kind of funny when you think about it. But the beauty of it all is not about what other religions are doing and what people do. But the beauty of it is receiving that confidence from the Spirit within and coming to that place of trust where you know that the guidance that is coming from within you is equal to anyone that you could imagine, as Dove was saying. It's equality. It's equal to anything else that you think someone else could possibly say. But we have to come to that trust. And really, I think that's what we do. We do in this room. We do in Awaken Together. We are here to only be truly helpful, and we help each other remember who we truly are. If in all the various messages, in all the various topics, whatever we title our talk, whatever the theme of our talk is, at the end, we're here to just be truly helpful, and what we say and do and how we embrace one another is helping us to remind each other of our innocence and who we really are, and to know that we're just equal and that we are one. And that's the beauty of the gathering. That's as Dove so said about that, as he quoted someone else about the conferences, is at the dinner table, is at the cafeteria where we're sitting down, fellowshipping, talking, sharing, and just allowing love to flow freely. That's one of the beauties of going to conferences, is that you just get in an environment where you can just kind of drop your guard and drop a lot of your inhibitions and just let love flow freely. And even if you are not there yet, there are so many people around you that are just allowing their love to flow freely, that it's just a total uplifting, revitalizing experience. And that's what we have in this room. We come in and on Sunday mornings and throughout the week, but even in this morning fellowship where we just love, and you can just feel the love. You can feel the love in what everyone may be posting in the room. If you're listening on Pal Talk Radio, you can feel the love. It's not a thing of contention and someone trying to outsmart one other person, and you say something smart, let me say something smart, I say something wise, let you say something wise, you know. But it's just that coming together, that awakening together in one spirit, in one light, in one love. And I just have a heart full of gratitude and thankfulness for this experience and for this fellowship and for every person that logs in and signs into the room, and everyone that listens on radio or iPhone that share in this experience, because trust is, we know, we feel, we sense the love, and we've moved to that place to where we don't have to touch and see and feel, but we can gather on Pal Talk, we can gather via Pal Talk Radio, and that trust and that knowing that love is just being given and shared, and the good intentions. We know that we're in an environment of good intentions, and that's the trust. We trust the good intentions of our brother and our sister, and the ego is kind of taking that back seat and allowing us to just trust, and trust the intentions and the goodness and the love that's being shared through and from everyone that participates in any way, whether they're typing or talking or sending out emojis. It's just a magnificent fellowship. So thank you, Dove, for the invitation to speak and to share, and I will release the mic.
All right, thank you so much, Regis. It was really wonderful listening to you. Yes, and thanks for bringing up the thing which I do speak about a lot, the wisdom of equality. For without equality, there is no peace. Equality is the one condition necessary for peace. And, you know, you can say from Lesson 185, all I want is the peace of God. And even Jesus laughs. He says, hey, you know, to say this is one thing. To mean it, that's a whole different world. So the only way I can ever really have the peace of God, which is I say all I want is the peace of God, is to really want nothing else in this world but the peace of God. But peace has one condition. Unless you meet that condition, you know, only conflict and the idea of differences and specialness becomes the voice that we listen to, the voice of sacrifice. And as long as you listen to the voice of sacrifice, that is the one idea, as Jesus tells us in Lesson 187, the one idea behind all of the world's pain and suffering. And then in your gentle laughter, yes, in your gentle laughter, it is healed. And why is it healed? Because it's all taken place in our mind, in our one innocent mind. Thank you all for listening. Turning this mic over to you, Lynn, for an hour of fellowship. And I want to remind everyone that tonight Regina Dawn Akers is on with Gina Lake, who I've been following Gina Lake for years. I post a lot of her stuff on Facebook and on Twitter. Gina Lake is her website is radicalhappiness.com, I think it is. She's Regina will be on with in satsang with Gina Lake. It's Gina and Gina at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Please tune in. Thank you so much. Turning this mic over to you, Lynn Johnson.